welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Many of the episodes for the old-time radio series Escape exist. You know the opening. Tired of the everyday routine? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape. 1/8 Apache, our next show, is one of the few missing ones. Here's Cliff Carpenter and Kevin O'Morrison in 1/8 Apache.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are alone with a murderer, a man who has killed your brother, and against whom you have sworn revenge. While unknown to you, your enemy is plotting his own move, which, if he succeeds, will mean defeat for you and an end from which there is no escape.
So listen now as Escape brings you Peter B. Kind's exciting story, 1/8 Apache.
There's something about pulling a man's nose that'll drive him plumb crazy. It's a real low-down, contemptible trick. It'd anger a sheep. A man can walk away from an insult, but pull his nose and he'll go loco. Do all sorts of things he otherwise have more sense to do. And that's what Ty Burgess did to my kid brother. So Jack went for a gun against a killer he was no match for, and Burgess just drilled him nice and neatly. That's why I went looking for Mr. Ty Burgess right after the burial. I rode out of Calico City sundown Thursday last and crossed the desert for Trade Rat, a small mining camp at the southeast toe of Ship Mountain, San Bernardino County. That's where Mr. Burgess would be, I had reason to believe.
Why, hello there, sir.
Morning, Ed.
Haven't seen you around Trade Rats in weeks.
Yeah, that's the truth. You seen Ty Burgess around, Ed?
Burgess? No, I ain't seen him, Sheriff. And that's the way I like it.
Thanks, Ed.
Well, ain't you going to come on in and set a spell?
Not right now, thanks. Morning, Sid.
Right, well, sure ain't seen much of you.
How's your wife?
Oh, just fine.
You seen anything of Ty Burgess about?
No, I ain't seen him. Peter Lawler said he was in town, but I ain't seen him. Hey, say, Martha's roasting up. Hey, what's the matter?
Now, who would you say that is going into the pick and drill, Sid?
I'd say it was Ty Burgess.
Yeah, so would I. See you around. Ty Burgess was alone, and that was fine with me. He moseyed up the plank steps and on into the pick and drill saloon like he had a lot of time. A real thin, seedy-looking fellow with a narrow face. He gave the impression of being weak. That's what fooled at least five men I knew of. I pushed on into the pick and drill. He was standing at the end of the bar, and the barkeep was just setting him up with a bottle of whiskey.
All right. Just leave the bottle.
Good morning.
Huh?
I understand you're Mr. Ty Burgess.
Supposing I am. What's it to you?
Just this. Now, hold on, Mr. Burgess. I wouldn't draw if I were you. You'd look kind of foolish. Unbuckle, Mr. Burgess, and set it on the bar. Only move kind of slow. That's just fine. All right, now, gentlemen, take your seats. You can see just as well without crowding.
What is this? Who are you?
My tin star tells you I'm sheriff newly elected San Bernardino County named Joe Murdoch. You killed my kid brother, Jack, in Calico City.
It was self-defense. 20 men saw it. 20 men will swear it was self-defense.
You pulled his nose, Mr. Burgess.
Well, that didn't give him cause to go for his leather. You're sheriff. You know that. Pulling a man's nose ain't nothing more than a breach of the peace or something.
Jack weren't a man, Mr. Burgess. He was a kid.
It was self-defense. 20 men will swear.
All right. I didn't come to arrest you, Mr. Burgess. Nothing so foolish.
Well, in that case, I'll just go back to my drinking. Give me another glass, Stan.
Put down that bottle. Mr. Burgess, pay attention. I'm not through talking. That's better. Now, this here call of mine, Mr. Burgess, is strictly unofficial. To prove it, I'll just remove my little star and check this hardware. Now, Mr. Burgess, I'm going to give you the only thing I can under the circumstances. When I get back to the county seat, I'll plead guilty to assault and battery, pay a $5 fine, and vindicate the law, which I am sworn to uphold. Do you understand, Mr. Burgess?
I understand, Sheriff.
Mr. Burgess and I would like to borrow one of your small back rooms to start settling up a personal matter.
Sure, Mr. Murdoch.
Mr. Ty Burgess bled easily. I cut his face with the first good blow, but he had a lot of fight, so the affair was a rather lengthy and interesting one. But when I bounced him off the wall with another blow, Mr. Burgess's knees began to give. I didn't want him down just yet, so I moved to him quickly and worked over his stomach. I could see him turning sick. And then finished up on his face, and he went cold. On your feet. Now, you listen to me, Mr. Burgess. Listen real carefully, because I'm not going to repeat. The grand jury's sitting right now talking about you. They're going to issue an indictment, and I'm going to be given a warrant for your arrest. Naturally, if I got a warrant, I got to serve it, being a sheriff. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
That'd mean I'd have to pull you in and you'd come up for trial. I have no objection to that, excepting you may be acquitted. To that, I have the most serious objections. I don't want you off scot-free. I want to kill you. Now, I can only do that fair and square, so I'm going to give you a chance.
A chance? What are you talking about?
Just this. I'm going to give you an hour start out of Trade Rat. Then I'm coming after you, not as a sheriff, but as Jack Murdoch's brother.
Fair and square, you said. You took my gun. I ain't got a rifle like
you. You get your gun back. I'll furnish you with a rifle as good as mine and 1 hour head start.
All right. If you get me then, you're welcome. I won't kick none.
You will when I get you, Ty Burgess. Don't forget you killed my brother.
I don't forget nothing. Not even that licking you just gave me.
That's fine, but that's just the beginning. I'm telling you right now, I'll kill you 100 times before you die.
I don't scare worth a cent. You should know that.
No, how about rattlesnakes? Just the thought of snakes makes you shiver, doesn't it? Now, let me just tell you one thing more. My grandmother was a half-breed Mojave Apache.
So what?
So that makes me 1/8 Apache. 7/8 white man, 1/8 Apache. I'm coming after you not as a white man and a sheriff, but as Jack Murdoch's brother. and Apache. When I catch up with you, I'm going to peg you out Apache fashion. Then I get a big rattler, run a buckskin through his tail, stick him out in front of you. Every time he strikes, he'll miss your face by half an inch, and about the time you're three-quarters crazy, I'll pour some water on the buckskin, and it'll stretch just enough.
You would do that, wouldn't you?
I sure would, unless you want to come back to Calico City with me and confess to the premeditated killing of my brother, which it was, in truth, and then I'll be just as pleased to handle the hanging.
I'll take my chance out in the desert.
Fair enough. Come on. Let's get your horses and a rifle. 40 rounds of cartridges and we're even. In exactly 1 hour, I'm following you. After that, Mr. Burgess, you're responsible for what happens.
We'll return to escape in just a moment. But first, help ensure that no call for blood will go unheeded. Whether it's for gamma globulin to control a child's polio or for whole communities in time of disaster, the Red Cross can answer the call only if you have first given blood. Phone your local Red Cross chapter. Make an appointment to give a painless pint to relieve human suffering. And now, back to escape.
A.M. Ty Burgess rode out a trade rat on a stout buckskin bronco carrying grain, grub, and water on the saddle. I took my big Roman-nosed roan, a range pony crossed with a thoroughbred for speed and stamina, onto the feed corral. Watered, fed, and curried him. Next, I made a trip to the supply store, bought some flour, dried beef, and tea. 12 o'clock, straight up. I hooked a 2-gallon canteen of water from the pommel of my Mexican saddle, checked my 30-30 carbine, and mounted my pony. Swung her into a gentle lope and headed off on the trail for Ty Burgess. I just made the edge of Trade Rat when I saw Sandy James loping in from Calico City way.
Joe! Hey, Joe, hold up.
Sandy was a dry, gray little man, bailiff at the county courthouse.
Yeah. Sure, I'm glad I caught up with you.
What brings you in?
I got something for you, Joe.
What is it?
Grand jury, got an indictment out for Ty Burgess. I brung you the arrest warrant. Just a minute. Got it right here in my saddlebag.
I don't want it, Sandy.
Thought you wanted, Burgess.
I do.
Well, then I
just hold on to that warrant. I can't serve as long as you got it, so I can serve Mr. Ty Burgess something else.
Just what you figuring on serving him?
Something real special for the occasion. Now, you just mosey on into Trade Rat and look around for me.
Where are you going?
Wherever these tracks down there take me.
Well, are you getting something again hanging, bringing Burgess in legal-like?
Nothing. But I sure got a lot against letting him go if there's an acquittal.
I've never known you to be against a fair trial.
Not against it one bit. Fact is, Ty Burgess is having a fair trial. Fair as can be.
I see.
Him or me.
Yeah, I guess I see that.
Now, go on into Trade Rat, and
No, I don't think so. I think I'll just go on along with you.
Well, suit yourself. Only don't interfere. It's my fight.
Oh, not me. I'm not the interfering type.
I might warn you there'll surely be a lot of lead slung.
Yeah, well, I guess that as much.
Ty Burgess is no bad shot.
Yeah, I know that, too. I'll come along.
All right, Sandy, you just joined yourself up with an Apache war party.
Apache?
That's right.
I don't understand.
You will.
Man sure leaves an easy trail, don't he?
Uh-huh.
Well, you ask me, he don't care. He's riding hell fit for the Rio Colorado. Now he's gonna be out of the state before you even get a sight of his dust.
No, I don't think so, Sandy.
Well, you sure don't seem to be in no hurry.
Lots of time. Be dark soon, no sense catching up with him in the dark. Fella needs shooting light.
Yeah, blowing up, kind of windy.
Whoa. Hold up, boy. Just look at these tracks, Sandy. Swinging southwest. You see, he isn't heading for Colorado at all. He's got a grudge to settle up with me for beating that I gave him. I was counting on that. He can't leave the state till he settles up the score.
Yeah, you're a thinking man, Joe.
You know what Mr. Burgess is going to do now?
No, I don't.
He's going to swing around the spur of Sheephole Mountain there and go on into Morongo Pass. That's where he'll make his stand.
If that proves so, Joe, I'd say you're uncanny.
It'll prove so. Indian blood says it will.
Huh?
Maybe I never told you. My grandmother was half-breed Mojave Apache. Hold up, boy.
Hey, what's that, Joe? Sandstorm coming.
Yeah.
Coming this way, black as fuel.
Come on, make for the foot. We drove our spurs into our mountain race for the shelter of the foothills, but the sand cloud spit after it like a dam, biting and stinging and choking out our breaths till it was all fire, certain it would catch us all full right in the open. Wasn't much man could do, knowing he's going to get caught full in the blast. We dismounted, unsaddled our horses, and killed them. Then, pulling the saddles over our heads, we crouched in the lee of the carcasses till the storm blew over. 11 hours later. Next morning, we found a water hole in the Sheephole Mountains and washed up.
Lead slinging, you said. You didn't say nothing about this.
I didn't ask you to come along.
Well, now look at my eyes. Still hot as a branding iron. Yours don't look so good either.
Don't feel so good either.
Well, come on. Let's walk on into Canyon Springs.
No, you walk on in if you want, Sandy. Yeah, I think you should.
I don't understand. How do you mean that?
I mean Ty Burgess isn't any better off than I am. He wasn't so far ahead. He caught the sandstorm, too.
Yeah, you can't follow no tracks now. Won't be any.
I don't need any. I know where he is, or soon will be. Morongo Pass. Hand me that canteen.
There you are.
Yeah.
Something real wrong about this, Joe.
Is it?
You ain't acting like no sheriff.
I'm not a sheriff, Sandy. I'm Jack Murdoch's older brother. And an Apache.
Mind if I ask you something?
Go ahead.
What are you planning on doing to Ty Burgess, assuming you can catch up with him?
Sure you want to know?
Yeah, real curious about that. Give me a drink, will you?
Well, Sandy, all I'm going to do is peg him outside Apache style, then run a buckskin through a rattler's tail.
Oh, Joe, come on into Canyon Springs with me.
Can't do that, Sandy.
You ever hear how come Ty Burgess got so fearful of snakes?
No.
Well, the way I hear it, he happened onto a water moccasin, curled on a bank in the sun. He looked around for a stick to kill. He picked up what seemed to be a 2-foot section of dried willow limb. Weren't another moccasin stretched out at full length?
Very interesting.
Yeah, threw it away before it had time to waken and strike.
That's too bad.
Now, don't get me wrong, Joe. I know Ty Burgess is a killer. I ain't taking his side. He did Jack in on purpose, and there's no question there. But, you know, still, there are ways and ways, and you got to go after him. Take a warrant.
Somehow I can't do that, Sandy.
Oh, you get through with that work you're planning, you won't be sheriff no more. I thought being sheriff was your big ambition.
Sure was, Sandy. Worked 13 years for it. Don't much feel like giving it up.
Take the warrant.
Somehow I just can't, Sandy. That 1/8 Apache in me has other ideas.
Okay, Joe. I'm going to leave you now. I'm taking the warrant on to that deputy in Canyon Springs.
Up to you, Sandy.
Yeah, but we'll both be back out as soon as possible. And I'll sure be puzzling all the way about he's going to have to arrest.
Sandy James spat in the dirt and turned from me. I watched him walk off toward Canyon Springs, taking the warrant with him. I watched him till he was gone, then turned to other things. My carbine was useless for the sand, but the holster, given my revolver good protection, that was enough. With it on my hip and the water canteen slung over my shoulder, I started the long walk through the heat of the day for the Morongo Pass. Evening was coming out, and when I saw Ty Burgess' horse at the head of the pass, like me, he'd had to kill him because of the sandstorm. And that told me I was right. Mr. Burgess was holed up there waiting. The question was, where? I scurried along the rocks real careful, knowing I had to expose myself just enough to draw his fire so I could get a line on where he was holed. Two revolver shots told me his rifle was out of commission also, and that he was hiding near the abandoned Lucky Johnson mine shaft. Happy to see you waited, Mr. Burgess.
That's all right, Sheriff, but I was about to despair.
That's so?
I was afraid that little sandstorm had changed your plans.
Not me, Mr. Burgess. I persevere.
Well, I'm sure glad, because my face still pains me where you worked it over, and my stomach will never be the same.
Now, I enjoyed that work, Mr. Burgess, but I declare what's coming I'm going to enjoy even more.
Nah, I don't think so, you mongrel Apache. You're not going to peg me out in front of no rattler.
We'll see, Mr. Burgess.
We sure will.
Twilight upsets a man shooting, doesn't it?
It might.
Of course, some men are real good at shooting at sounds. Would you be one of those?
Come on in a bit closer and find out.
Of course, we could wait till daylight, Mr. Burgess. Play doggo through the night and wait for the sun. How do you feel about that?
No, I'm for settling it right now.
Fine with me. Only thing is, I got a little concern. I can't kill you if I shoot. I might just do that by accident, and that'd be a shame. I need you alive.
Your problem, Sheriff.
That's so, but I figure I can work it out. Don't forget, you're up against Indian blood.
I don't forget nothing.
That's fine. Then you must surely can remember in detail how you once picked up a water moccasin thinking it was a willow branch. And I guess you also recollect how I said I'd find the biggest rattler I could and having play with you.
Yeah. Talk don't accomplish nothing.
No, it sure doesn't.
What's the matter, Sheriff? Run out of gab? Now, Come on, don't get so unsociable all of a sudden. Why, I'm most anxious to hear your honeyed voice.
Ty Burgess had a plan, that was sure. He was drawing me in, and that was all right with me, because I wanted him to make his move before it really got dark. Then suddenly went quiet. For a long, long moment, I didn't say a thing, but I knew his play was coming. Then I saw him. He was lowering himself down the mine shaft on the rawhide Rihanna, and I knew his plan. Drop down into the mine, race out through the north tunnel of the hill, and come up on me behind. I ran like blazes to the shaft to catch him just before he reached bottom, and when I got to the top of the shaft, I saw it. He was a few feet from the bottom, both his hands holding tight onto the Rihanna, his gun in his belt, and down below him, coiled to strike, was the biggest rattler I'd ever seen. Burgess looked up, saw me, looked down, saw it, and did the only thing he could. Clamped his legs together and dropped, hoping his weight and high-heeled boots will kill the reptile before it could strike. He missed the snake by a few inches. I put a bullet through the rat and started down to see Ty Burgess. The deputy from Canyon Springs rode up then. I figured I might as well tell him what happened, and then the three of us went down.
He's dead. Real dead, Joe.
Yeah.
When did you say all this happened, Murdoch?
Just now.
Now? That don't seem quite right. A man don't die of a snake bite so sudden-like.
No, no, he doesn't. Come here. Take a look at this rattler.
I guess you can forget that 1/8 Apache business and go back to the matter of being sheriff once more.
Yeah, I can do that, Sandy. Fact is, I'd be pleased to. They say I made a pretty good sheriff after that, and I'm glad I had a witness or two to what had happened. You see, Mr. Ty Burgess didn't die a snake bite at all. He died of fright, scared to eternity by a rattler that had been dead a week.
You are standing on an unfinished roadbed somewhere in Mexico. It is night, and a drunken, murderous foreman is forcing you to dig till you drop. The .45 in his hand means that for you there can be no escape.
This episode of Escape, broadcast date of June 28, 1953, is one of the lost episodes. The recording of that broadcast is missing.
You've been listening to American Radio Theater's recreation of Escape, 1/8 Apache. It was directed by Paul Fable. Christopher Conrad was the Escape announcer, a role his dad, William Conrad, recorded for Escape. Cliff Carpenter was Joe Murdoch. Kevin O'Morrison was Ty Burgess, with Steph Cardona as Ed, Ivan Curry as Sid and the announcer, Dave Parker as Sandy the deputy, and Robert Perks as the barkeep. Live sound effects by Pat McNally and Penny Swanberg. I'm Joy Jackson. This is ART, the American Radio Theater. Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. We return to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hey, let's listen to a little bit from Kraft Music Hall.
The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Music Maids and Lee, Yuki, the Charioteers, and Bing's distinguished visitors, Phil Silvers and Marilyn Maxwell. And here's Bing Crosby.
As I'm packing my grip, and I'm leaving today, as I'm taking a trip, California way, I'm gonna settle down and never more roam. And make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins, yes, Lord. I'll be making new friends where the west begins and the sunset ends. Cause I've decided where you're truly, really ought to be. And it's the San Fernando Valley for me. I think that I'm safe in Satan. He will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas just made us a promise. He'll make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, Caravar FD. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam and make the San Fernando Valley my home.
I'm the back of my grip.
Music Hall friends beamed to the far corners of the world where our men in uniform are fighting for us. I wonder if we here at home are doing any fighting for them so that their dear ones can budget that monthly allotment. Are we fighting to stop prices from spiraling upwards? We can do it, you know, do it easy by living up to our home front pledge. I will pay no more than ceiling prices and I'll pay my ration points in full. It's certainly a small thing to do for them when they're doing so much for us. It's only promising to give everybody a square cut. Maybe you're loaded right now and you can top ceiling prices, but don't, because that'll raise the prices for those who haven't so much money. Maybe you know where you can get by without giving ration points. That's cheating. It's cheating somebody else out of his share of scarce stuff. So take and keep the home front pledge. I will pay no more than ceiling prices, and I'll pay my ration points in full. Our regular KMH group this PM is augmented by a frequent visit to the hall, Mr. Phil Silvers, and for the fourth consecutive week, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's rising young star, Miss Marilyn Maxwell. We certainly hope, Marilyn, that your visits to the hall in some small way advance your career.
They have been. Around here alone, I've had several definite advances. You
Keeps you pretty busy making pictures and broadcasting, doesn't it?
Yes, and so many people seem to think the show business is easy.
Well, I don't think show business is hot. I don't think you're in show business. I got a fan letter.
Who from?
My folks.
Naturally.
Would anybody like to hear it?
No.
Okay, think it over.
Who wants to hear personal mail, Yuki, to an outsider? It's boring.
Oh, yeah? Well, listen to this. Dear Yuki...
See, it's boring already.
Will you wait and listen? We know you're very busy, but as soon as you're done, write us some news.
I got news.
What?
You're done.
Don't you let them upset you, Yuki. Read the rest of the letter.
Well, sure, maybe they say something about me.
My folks don't write that kind of language.
Have you written anything to your folks about me?
Oh, have I? About you, Miss Maxwell, I said, and I quote, Marilyn Maxwell is the kind of a girl I'd like to bring home to meet Mother.
And what did your mother say?
Well, she wrote, I have seen Miss Maxwell's picture, son, and please don't, you know your father.
See, they must be very proud of you, way out here in California.
Oh, sure, they sent me out here, but I'm a very big man in Brooklyn.
You're kidding.
You heard of a tree grows in Brooklyn?
Planted in your honor?
Naturally.
What kind of a tree?
Eucalyptus.
Aye.
Has your family got anything about me in their letter, Yuki?
Well, they couldn't get it in. Just a little note. But they closed by saying, please let us know what is going to happen in the first 5 minutes of next week's show, as we get a big kick out of knowing in advance.
Why only the first 5 minutes?
Well, that's when I'm on. See, they only have to listen to the first 5 minutes.
I got a TL for you.
What?
Write your folks that next week they won't have to listen to them.
Writing right now.
Guess I'd add a while, Marilyn Maxwell sings, I never knew I could love anybody, honey, like I'm loving you. Take the next chorus, Marilyn. And beamy, Marilyn. Leave us now, leave romance and turn to more practical matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was the first day of Lent, and here is wonderful help with Lenten meals. The macaroni and cheese dish you cook in just 7 minutes with Kraft Dinner. The Kraft Dinner box gives you both ingredients for this traditional Lenten main dish. It gives you a special macaroni that cooks fluffy tender just in boiling water, and it also supplies plenty of golden Kraft grated to sprinkle the cheese flavor through and through the macaroni. 7 minutes at the stove, and you have a 12-point-saving main dish. Serve the hot Kraft Dinner by itself in a big dish, or pressed into a ring with creamed seafood in the center. Try it soon. Just be sure to get the box with both ingredients for quick, delicious macaroni and cheese. That's Kraft Dinner.
Jack, that's the G.I. Jack.
suit. Make us a suit.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt is inaugurated president of these United States, and financial chaos is averted by the bank holiday. 1933, and on the way home from hundreds of movies, thousands of young men are saying,
"You know, there's something about you reminds me of Ginger Rogers."
Is all okay?
Yeah. Remember in the picture this evening how she kissed Fred Astaire?
Lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah. Under a tree just like this one. Remember how she kissed him?
Uh-huh. See, the moon was sort of half behind the clouds, just like that.
Yeah. Remember how Ginger kissed Fred?
Mm-hmm.
Something about you reminds me of Ginger Rogers.
Gee, if you were only Fred Astaire.
Say, did you read where Maxie Bear is going to make a movie opposite Myrna Loy?
Maxie Bear, the prizefighter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can he be any good in a love scene?
Why, the first thing those guys learn is how to take care of themselves in the clutches.
I'll tell you what I'd do in a love scene.
I've never been to a prize fight, Harry. Just exactly what do they mean by the clinches?
Well, I tell you.
I'll show you.
Harry. Harry, please. Not here.
Okay, but where?
Well.
Why don't you say you'll marry me? Gee, we could go to the Century of Progress Exposition in Chicago on our honeymoon.
Well, I hear it's very educational.
Yeah, but Sally Rand is great. Great.
Who told you?
One of her fans.
I can't understand what you like about fan dancing.
I got an idea.
Harry.
I got an idea how to modernize it.
Well, how can you modernize a fan dance?
Electric fan.
Oh, this, I must say that this is the funniest proposal I've ever had. Haven't you any romance in you at all?
Oh, listen, Mel, I can just see you on Easter. You looking swell in your new clothes and me in my clothes. Like Irving Berlin says, in your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the finest lady in the Easter parade.
Oh, that's nice. But love is the sweetest thing.
What else on earth could bring
such happiness to everything? Oh, look, Harry. That moon's out full now. Just like in that new song.
You mean one of those like this one?
Well, it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed
in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believe in me. It's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Not unknown to habitués of the Old Craft Music Hall, my companion, an associate on many a camp tour, Phil, glad to see you, Silvers, is rapidly carving a niche for himself in the Cinema Hall of fame. At present, under contract to 20th Century Fox, Phil has one of the title roles in Four Dills and a Jeep. Plays the Jeep. And I get the double, Phil, that you really stand out in that Columbia picture, Cover Girl.
Stand out, Bing? I'm a smash.
You're big?
A big smash. Well, I motivate the whole picture.
Should be happy motivating. How do you do this for Cover Girl?
Well, it's just the Silver's technique, Bing. There are the girls. I walk in, they run for cover.
Glad to see you.
Glad to see you.
Thank you. All this should make you so happy, Silver.
More than you know, Bingsy. In fact, I'm so happy I came here this evening for no other reason than to try to help you.
Help me what?
To be a success. Just stop for a moment and take serious stock of yourself, Bing.
Mm-hmm.
10 years in the same racket, and look at you. You haven't even put aside enough money to get a decent suit of clothes.
Well, there were times when I worked for Tina.
Yes, and Brother Everett got the salt.
He did that. Yes, he did.
Champagne Ev, they call him. Believe me, Bing, as long as you work for Buttons, you'll wind up in the hole. I wish I was dead for saying it.
I'm converting in mediamente. Zipper.
Oh, you're fighting me, Bing. Fighting me. Just put yourself in my hands. Let me take care of your money.
Yeah.
I'll assure your happiness. I'll assure your future. Supposing Bob Hope should leave you.
Could you assure me that? I'm kind of sold on Phil as a personal manager, Bing.
There you are. Ask anybody.
I think you ought to let Phil handle your money, Bing.
See? Ask anybody.
I think you can handle your own money, Bing.
Who asked you?
Help anyone to become a success, Phil?
Anyone, Marilyn. I very seldom have to draw the line.
You think you could help me?
Has anybody got a pencil?
I don't know, Phil. I still think I can handle my own affairs.
Bing, boys, think what you're saying. Where would Charlie McCarthy be today if it weren't for Edgar Bergen?
And vice versa?
See what I mean? You need something, either a lap or a dummy. I don't know.
Take me, son. I am yours to command.
Step into my office. Follow the leader.
Coming, Philzy.
Good morning. Silver's and Tarnish. No, I'm sorry. A Tarnish was rubbed out. What was it about? Oh, about Mr. Crosby's personal affairs. I'll let you speak to Mr. Silver's, who handles all of Mr. Crosby's business. One moment, please.
Bing, stop humming. You're distracting me.
That's your phone.
Hold the phone. Excuse me. Hello? Who is it? Hold. Check a record? You want Bing to make a recording? Well, how long will it take? 4 or 5 hours. Sorry, not interested. Goodbye.
Madel, I want to make that record.
Oh, don't be silly, Bing. That would be a terrible waste of time. Imagine 4 or 5 hours to make a record. You can buy one for 35 cents. Ridiculous. Now, let's get down to business. How much money have you got in the bank?
$4,000.
That nice? Now we'll transfer it to my bank, in my name, you see? And that way you won't have to pay any tax on it.
But you'll have to pay tax.
Naturally, but with $4,000, I can afford it. Hello? Oh, hello. Hello, kid. How are you? You've got two broadcasts coming up, huh? Oh, I see. You're running short. All right, kid, I'll send them right over. What is that? Oh, yes, a dozen bow ties and an egg beater for your hair. All right, goodbye, Frankie.
Friend of yours?
Just another one of my clients. Now, where were we?
Wait, where am I?
You're with me, and I'm helping you.
Oh, I see. Well, look, Phil, I don't want to give you the impression that I don't trust you. But I've just been going over the books, and I don't understand one item here.
Only one?
What's this mean here, Belmont Park, $2?
Oh, that. Just a small investment I made there some time ago in some stock out there.
Ran out of the money.
Couldn't take it in a stretch. Too fast to pay.
Early stage illness.
But I've learned my lesson there. From now on, all your money gets put aside for a rainy day.
That's good.
Yes, I pick them better on a muddy track.
Investing in horses, I could have thought of you.
Yes, but record. We don't put all our eggs in one basket, Bingo.
Don't
we? I'm also investing your money in the grain exchange.
Yeah.
I'm buying oats.
Oats
went up 7 points in the last 3 days.
How come?
Because mare's e-dote and doe's e-dote.
And the lamb's e-ivy.
Get me ivy.
You can phone her at Oxford 1234.
Suppose the man answers.
That's her sister. We're getting away.
Yes, and I must say, old boy, that I find your management mighty expensive. Now, what are all these items on the expense account here? Restaurants, tailors, railroads, airplane lines, nightclubs.
That's gratitude for you. I knew you'd bring this up. All right. So I eat big, thick, juicy steak. Do I like steak? No. Meat murders me. I'm a vegetarian. But why do I eat steak? I'll tell you why. Right. Everybody in the restaurant points to me and says, who's that man? Who's that big spender? Dean Forsey's manager. Your name is mentioned. Publicity. All right, yes, yes. I'm well dressed. I wear expensive suits. Do I like expensive suits? No. I'm strictly a two flights up man. I like the exercise.
Keep you fit.
But why do I wear expensive suits? Everybody says, who's that well dressed man? Bean Fosse's manager. Oh, yeah. Your name is mentioned. Publicity.
Yes, but what's this here about signing my name on the check?
That's publicity.
That's forgery.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up. Let them arrest me. That's what I want. Publicity for you. I can hear the newsboys on the street yelling, X-ray, X-ray, X-ray. Bean Fosse's manager's arrested. Your name is mentioned. You're getting famous. All right. Let them put me in jail. That's what I want. Let them give me the trade degree. Let them hit me with those rubber hoses. Let them murder me. I'll keep saying one thing. I'm Bean Fosse's manager. Your name will be mentioned over and over.
Well, hold on. I won't let them put you in jail.
Why not?
Who'll take care of my money?
Oh, I love this boy. This is a good boy. We're going to do great. You know what I'm going to do for you, Bingo? I'm going to make you bigger and better than ever.
How?
I'll teach you to sing so people will listen.
Yes?
And above all, understand what you say.
How?
Diction. Diction.
What do you know about diction?
What do I know about diction, yeah? I only won the award for diction at the Academy of Arts, that's all. Would you like to hear how I won the diction award?
Could you show me how you won the Diction Award?
Oh, how can I forget that eventful evening at the Academy of Arts? The hall was crowded, and I was the next contestant, following speakers and singers with the clearest diction of our time, and with all the assurance born of self-confidence in my clearest tones and finest pronunciation, I sang... Without a star running... The day was an ever and... Without a star, the road would never bear an end. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friar, you're an end. Without a star, that a field of a corn would never feel a plow. That a field of a corn would be deathier than now. A darkie's born, but he's no good, no how. Wow. Without a sorrow, I've got to make troubles and woe, but as sure as I know the Georgian war, I'll get along as long as it's strong. It's strong in my soul. I'll never know how to make the grain for a
I'll never know what makes the grass so tall. I only know there is no love at all without her. S-O-R-N-G-S-O-R-R-R.
Thus, T. Silvers and his diction album. As for proper diction, more practically applied, a ton big.
There's never been a time when you homemakers have needed so many shortcuts to save you fuss and bother. Well, one of your best shortcuts these days is Kraft Dinner, the macaroni and cheese that cooks in 7 minutes flat. First of all, Kraft Dinner saves you shopping time. Right in one box that you can pick up in a jiffy, Kraft Dinner gives you both ingredients for macaroni and cheese. There's a special fast-cooking macaroni in that box. And there's plenty of golden Kraft grated to sprinkle in the cheese flavor in a twinkling. For these two magic ingredients, you make the dinner main dish as fast as you make the dinner coffee. And it's really swell macaroni and cheese. Fluffy light with lots of good cheese flavor through and through. A point-saving main dish. And an extender, if you like, for other foods, too. Kraft Dinner macaroni and cheese, pressed into a ring and served with a little creamed leftover meat or vegetables or seafood, is a fast treat, a special treat. Try it soon. Kraft Dinner.
Thursday evening in the Old Craft Music Hall, friends. Next Thursday, the same group, augmented and glamorized by the addition of our friend, Lucille Ball. Away you go.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please check out our podcasts on our website, www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new podcast every month. If you want to hang out with other folks playing old-time radio, it's radiooutofthepast.org in the Fred Bertelson Room. On Thursdays from 5:30 Pacific, that's 8:30 Eastern, and also on Saturday, 6 o'clock Pacific, that's 9 o'clock Eastern. Hope to see you soon!